بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم، نحمده ونصلی علی رسول الکریم، اما بعد، الحمدللہ. Tonight is the 15th of December in the year 2020. Alhamdulillah, we moved on to the ninth night that we're going through the illustrious and dear life of the venerable chief of Al-Khazraj, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu. And I'm on the section in which I'm taking a glimpse into the noble father's education of his venerable son, Sayyidina Qais ibn Sa'ad radiyallahu. And the last report I mentioned was the one in which our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave salam three times, and Sa'ad responded quietly, and only upon the Prophet's leaving did he rush out to bring him into his dwelling. So with regards to the salam, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu, he learned the etiquettes from no other than our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In Tabarani, Al-Haythami in Majma' al-Zawa'id volume 8 page 44 states Sahih, Hayat al-Sahaba volume 3 page 677-8 of the New English Translation. Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Ubadah himself, he relates, radiyallahu, I once came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst he was in his chamber. I sought permission to enter while standing directly in front of the entrance. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then gestured to me to move to the side. I did so. I sought permission to enter again, and this time I was granted. He thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seeking permission to enter is only for the purpose of safeguarding the sight, i.e. from seeing what one ought not to see. And this objective will be defeated if one stands directly in front of the door in a manner that one can see inside the dwelling. So let's look at this. So Sa'ad ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anhu went to one of the blessed chambers, and he did everything right, but he stood right in front of the entrance. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam signaled to him to move to the side. So he moved to the side and he asked permission again. When he was allowed entry, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, seeking permission to enter is only for sight. If you're looking and then you're asking, he goes, then the whole point is defeated. Clarifying further, in Sahih Bukhari, Hayat al-Sahaba volume 3 page 678 of the New English Translation, Sayyidina Sahal ibn Sa'ad ibn Sa'idi radiyallahu anhu, he relates, a man was once peeping through a hole in the door of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst he was scratching his head with a comb. When Rasulullah saw him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, had I known that you had been looking at me, I would have thrust this comb into your eyes. Have you not yet understood that seeking permission is done only for the purpose of safeguarding the sight? So this is another companion. He wasn't Sa'ad, but this man, he was actually looking. Imagine inside the Prophet's chamber, and the Prophet ﷺ was scratching his head with a comb. And the scholars say this is sunnah. So if you've got a comb and you've got an itch, use a comb. You know, the Prophet did that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when the Prophet said, if I had known you was looking, I would have thrust the comb into your eyes. And then he said, seeking permission is done only for the purpose of safeguarding the sight. Why? Because the man then asked permission to enter. And he goes, well, you've already entered. And in a similar humorous report, the keeper of secrets, Sayyidina Hudhayfa radiyallahu, he responded to a man who was peeping into his dwelling and asked permission afterwards. And his response was, your eyes have already entered. Now all that remains is your buttocks. Your eyes have already entered. The only thing now is your buttocks. Recorded in Bukhari's Al-Adab al-Mufrad, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 3, page 682 of the New English Translation. So note, there's wisdom. If you defeat the wisdom of the command, there's no point acting upon the command. So what's the etiquettes? There's three. First, you knock. Then if no one responds to your knocking after the third time, you leave. So you knock. Nobody responds. You knock again. Nobody responds. Third time, then you leave. Secondly, after knocking, stand to the side of the door, making sure not to look in. Two people, very, you know, crazy. They're knocking, they're looking through the window. And thirdly, on inquiry from within, give your salam, then your name, and humbly ask permission for entry. So when the person inside asks, you say, As-salamu alaykum. Yusuf, the son of Shamloz, asks permission to enter. So the person knows who's asking. And then you're allowed entry. Subhanallah, such are just some of the sublime teachings of our glorious deen. Think about that. There's nothing left. We only have to act upon the commands that Allah has given us. And this is why Musa alayhi salatu wasalam got so angry. When he was in the desert for 39 years. And somebody came into his tent. And look how he reacted. He punched. Right? And it was the angel of death. Injured his eye. Why was he angry? Because he thought somebody's entered without permission. So the prophets get furious when the commands are broken. And notice here, the prophet goes, if I had known, I would have thrust this comb into your eye. Why? Because you're breaking the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of this is the etiquette with regards to the salam. And even Sa'd ibn Ubadah didn't know that. Imagine, he stood right in the entrance. And that's why you'll notice those with knowledge, they stand to the side. Right? You know, people who go on tabligh, they are taught this. They give the salam and they stand to the side. And if there's a woman, they just quickly say who they are and then move on. Zayd ibn Thabit, he relates, radiallahu. So this is recorded in Ibn Asakir, Al-Khatib, Ma'an, Al-Qazaz, Al-Mizan, Volume 2, page 3, Qanz al-Omal, Volume 7, page 134, Ayat al-Sahaba, Volume 2, page 48 to 9 of the New English Translation. Nasa'i and Daruqutni relate similar. Sayyidina Zayd ibn Thabit from the Khazraj, radiallahu, he relates. Sa'd ibn Ubadah, radiallahu, once visited the Holy Prophet with his son, radiallahu alayhi salam. When he greeted with As-Salam, Rasulullah said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, please sit here and here. Are you close to me? So look how much he loved Sa'ad and his son. When they gave salam, he goes, please come close. Please sit next to me. He then made Sa'ad sit on his right, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and said, welcome to the Ansar. Welcome to the Ansar, radiyallahu ta'ala. Out of respect for the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiallahu anhu made his son stand in front of Rasulullah. He goes, don't sit, stand in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thereupon told the youth to sit. And he did, but at a respectful distance. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, come closer, sit close to me. The youth came closer. And as he got close, he started to kiss the hands and the feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet thereupon said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily I am from the Ansar and from the children of the Ansar. Sa'd, upon seeing the moving scene, he remarked, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honor you as you have honored us, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet then said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored you before I could honor you. However, after I leave the world, you shall soon see that others will be given preference over you. Thus, I now urge you to be patient until you meet me at the home. SubhanAllah. So this is the complete report. So let's look at this. So who's the narrator? Zayd, the neighbor of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the chief scribe of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he saw Sa'd, and Qais, look at how much love the Prophet had, he goes, come sit next to me. So Sa'd did what he told his sons. He goes, stand at a respectful distance. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told him, no, come close. So he sat, but he's still sitting too far. He goes, come closer. So Qais radiallahu anhu, now he was very close, out of love for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he kissed his hand and feet. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then showed his love for the Ansar. He goes, I am from the Ansar and from the children of the Ansar, meaning my mother is related to this blessed tribe. Then Sa'd, when he saw how much love he showed to his son and his tribe, He goes, may Allah Ta'ala honor you as you have honored us, Ya Rasulullah. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said something very interesting. He goes, verily Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala honored you before I could honor you. Meaning I've come to you. Now everything's clear. But really Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala chose you. He goes, before I honored you, Allah Ta'ala honored you. Then he said the famous thing that the Ansar were told again and again. After I leave you, you will notice that others will be preferred over you. Be patient until you meet me at the Hawt, i.e. on the Day of Judgment. Meaning I am showing you love, veneration that you deserve. But after me, you might not see this. In fact, you might see things that will hurt you. Just be patient. And he goes, and we will meet again at the Hawt. So, Qais ibn Sa'd, what am I talking about? Sa'd's education. Look how Sa'd's teaching him how to respect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when the Prophet was sit, he told his son, stand. Right? In other words, he's only saying that because he's showing love to me. But the Prophet goes, no, come close. And he still didn't come. You can imagine his father giving him that look and he's putting his head down. The Prophet goes, no, come closer. And then kissed the hands and the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again, this is a proof that this is not shirk. Right? So obviously kissing the hands and the feet of a Prophet, there's no doubt about that. But also the pious. The scholars say this, text for this. And the intention is not to prostrate, right? It's out of love you're doing it, right? And then, of course, the Prophet said his beautiful words that Allah alayhi sallam. In another report, in Sahih Muslim, Abu Dawood, Targheeb number 1656, Sayyidina Qais ibn Sa'd ibn Ubadah radiyallahu anhu, he said, I once went to Hira and found the residents prostrating to the Marzuban, i.e. the leader. So let's explain this. So where's Hira? Iraq. One of the famous cities in Iraq. So Islam hadn't gone there by that time. They're still Persians. So he goes, I, Qais, and I went there. What's he doing there? Went on holiday. Look at the youths in the time of the Prophet going to different countries to do business. Now what they're doing, playing PlayStation, right? So he goes, I once went to Hira and I noticed that the people were prostrating to their Marzuban. So who's the Marzuban? That's a Persian word. It means their leaders. They prostrate to them. I just thought to myself that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was more deserving to be prostrated before anybody else. Because these fools, they just prostrate into their... Because anybody deserves that. It's the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I returned. Upon arrival, I came to him and I said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I had gone to Hira. And I found them prostrating to their marzuban. You are far more deserving to receive this prostration. He thereupon asked me, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Qais, radiyallahu anhu, if you were to come to my grave, would you prostrate before that? Qais, radiyallahu anhu, said, no, I wouldn't, Ya Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, then do not do it now. Indeed, were I to command anyone to prostrate to another, I would have commanded the women to prostrate before their husbands due to the right Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed over women for them. So let's look at this. So it's recorded Sahih Muslim and Abu Dawood. So again, notice, he's kissed the hands and feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, showing his deep love. Now he wants to prostrate. Think about that. You know, people go, oh, you're going too far, right? You know, Sahab going too far. But he asked, he goes, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told him the whole incident. And look how interesting, the Prophet's giving him wisdom. He didn't just say, no, you can't. What did he say to him?
Would you prostrate to me? He said, would you do it at my grave?
Would you prostrate to my grave? Why did he say that? Uh-huh. Because do you prostrate to things that pass away? It's the wisdom. So then the Prophet said, then he goes, no, look how, you know, he didn't even think about it. He goes, no, I wouldn't prostrate to your grave, Ya Rasulullah. I understand what that means. But the Prophet said, do not do it now. And then he said, if I gave that command, I would have given it to the wives to prostrate to their husbands because of Allah Ta'ala has given them the rights. But I will not allow even the wives to prostrate to their husbands. Now think about that. When somebody says to you, what are the rights of the husband? Right? And, you know, first of all, who gave the rights? Did some committee get together, men, with sawar kameez, right? And say, look, this is our rights. Allah Ta'ala gave them the rights. So women shouldn't get offended. If they do, that's kufr. Allah Ta'ala has given the rights to the husband. Now, why is that shocking? Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who has got greatest rights over a person is his mother. And the one who's got a greatest rights over the woman is her husband when she's married, then her mother. So when the marriage tie takes place, the husband has more rights even than your mother. The Prophet said that in Bazaar Sahih Hadith. The Prophet also said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if a man was covered in pus from wounds and his wife was to lick that, she still wouldn't have fulfilled his rights. Right? Now, why is the Prophet telling you that? Because he's stabilizing the family unit. That's the wisdom of this. Problems arise always between family members. If everybody gets their rights, we won't have these problems. So the Prophet even went as far as to say that, I would have told the women to prostrate to their husbands. But it's only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So note the immense love which Qais radiallahu anhu was demonstrating to our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that although he had already kissed his unparalleled feet, he now wanted to go one step further, which our beloved Messenger prohibited sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now what's interesting, did any of the Sahaba prostrate to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And the answer is yes, they did. Some Sahaba did prostrate to him. In Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban Sahih, Targhim 1657, Sayyidina Ibn Abi Awfa radiyallahu, he relates, when Mu'ad ibn Jabal al-Khazraj, note all from the Khazraj, when Mu'ad ibn Jabal radiyallahu returned from Ash-Sham, he prostrated before the Prophet. Didn't even say anything. Went straight. And the Prophet ﷺ said, what is this, O Mu'ad? So he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I had been to Sham and I found them prostrating before their chiefs and leaders. Thus I made immediate resolve to do that to you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not do it again. And then he mentioned, I would have allowed it for the wife to the husband, but even this is not allowed. So look how interesting, Allah Ta'ala made a Sahaba prostrate to him. So if somebody asks you that question, is any Sahaba prostrate? Oh no, brother, they were masters of Tawheed. They did, right? He goes, hey, which Sahaba? Must have been a Bedouin, right? Mu'ad ibn Jabal. The one who knows more about the halal and haram, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. The one who will be a stone's throw ahead of the scholars. The one who was martyred, did he prostrate? Yes. But the Prophet did say, don't do it again. In other words, I understand where you're coming from. So note the companions' love. What were they teaching their children? Qais would never have even thought of prostrating to the Prophet unless somebody was educating him. Who was educating him? Sa'd ibn Ubadah, showing his, was teaching them. You can't show enough love and respect to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Always try to better yourself. Indeed, Qais radiallahu became one of the noble servants of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So now about his prostration, just to add, all of the previous ummats, they were allowed to prostrate. It was an act of worship to at creation. Starting with Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, all the way to Jesus Christ. So think about that. That was an act of worship. Not, they weren't worshipping the person, they were showing, you know, honor to that person. In other words, we have great love and affection for you. So the Quran mentions that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam and his brothers prostrated to Yaqub, their father. Right? So it's mentioned in the Quran. Quran mentions that the angels prostrated to Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, every one of the previous ummahs did this, but I prohibited. So this is unique to us. Think about that. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala loved this ummah. He doesn't want them to fall into any kind of an error. So it's an honor for us. Think about that. That we know that we can't do this. It's prohibited. The scholars say, if you now do it and your intention is to honor the person, you've committed a sin. But he hasn't taken you out of Islam. Right? You committed a sin. But if you prostrated to worship, you're out of Islam. Think about that. Right? So the prostration is forbidden. If it's worship, it's kufr. If it's to honor, it's haram. It's forbidden. So note, this is also worth pointing out that this is not allowed for us. So look how Allah is protecting our tawheed and iman. Subhanallah. Even bowing, the Prophet didn't allow. The hadith is in Tirmidhi, Hassan, the Prophet was asked, Ya Rasulullah, can we prostrate to one another? He goes, no. He goes, can we bow to one another? He goes, no. It's can we shake hands? He goes, yes. Right? So even when they go to look at shaitan, makes you fall into these. For example, you start doing martial arts. And what do? They bow to their sensei. Are we allowed to bow? Right? Oh, no, brother, it's out of religion. We're not worshipping him. Still haram, brother. If you worship, it's kufr. You're doing it out of respect. Doesn't matter. You can't bow to him. And what's the famous saying? We do not bow to any man. What did the Sahaba say to the Persian rulers? We don't bow to anybody. When the Sahaba went to Negus, did they bow to him? Right? And Negus asked, because we don't prostrate or bow to any man. Who taught him that? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Also, tennis players in Wimbledon. Who did they have to bow to? Queen? Can we do that? Right? So think about that. People, just sell their deeds. Oh, no, I didn't mean it, brother. In my heart, I've got PhD in Tawheed. But you bow to her. Right? So, Lord, this is again not out of disrespect. This is because out of. Why? Because only Allah Ta'ala is deserving of this. So, when you go into ruku, look at the honor you're showing to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. I will not do that for anybody, O Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, except you. But what do we do? Yawn through it. Right? There you go. In. That's how you value your salat. That ruku that's only for Allah Ta'ala, you're yawning through it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith in Tabarani, authentic, that when a person starts his salat, his sins are placed on his head and shoulders. When he goes into ruku, his sins fall. Look how much Allah Ta'ala loves it. Once you go into ruku, he goes, forgive their sins. And you're doing it to who? What cracks you up? It's not even queen. Oh, it's nephew of queen. Oh, your mother, you're bowing down to every Tom, Dick and Harry. Astaghfirullah. Right? But you must shake hands, it's sunnah. You also hug. Hugging is fine. There's two times you hug. The first time is when you haven't seen a person for a while. And the second time out of love. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was once in his dwelling, Sahih Hadith in Tirmidhi. And Zayd ibn al-Harith was at the door. And Aisha goes, Rasulullah ran out of the dwelling. And he goes, I saw his bike. And he hugged Zayd. He goes, I never saw that before. So how much he loved Zayd ibn al-Haritha. And he wasn't traveling. Yeah, so out of love, you could do that as well. But the scholars say, don't do it too often. And obviously, between men, you don't start hugging women. It's sunnah to come here. Right? Qais radiallahu anhu became one of the noble servants of our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why did he become a servant? Qais himself said radiallahu anhu, my father gave me to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to serve him. Because that's your job. Because you're his servant. Then look what Qais said. The Holy Prophet once passed by me sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I had just performed salat. And he poked me with his foot. And the scholar said, this is the humor of the Prophet. Why? Because he was like, as if he was saying, well, are you my servant? Do I have to remind you of your duties? Right? And then the Qais said, when he poured me with his foot, he said, oh Qais, should I not direct you to a gate from the gates of paradise? I goes, Ya Rasulullah, certainly. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, then say, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. There is no power or might except from Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So where is this recorded? Nasa'i, Tirmidhi, number 3581. Hasan Sahih, Gharib. Ahmed in his Musnad, 3-422. Hakim in his Mustadrak, 4-290. States Sahih, to the criteria of Bukhari and Muslim. Zahabi Sahih, Targhib, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 83 of the English translation. So let's look at this. So he was one of the servants. Now you ask people, who are the servants? Who were the servants of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And some haven't got a clue because we have servants, right? Yes, but there's a difference. He never told them to be his servants. This is very important to highlight. Why? Because if you've got a non-Muslim and you tell him that, he's going to think ill of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh, he had servants. Yeah, you know, like the butlers. Astaghfirullah, right? The fathers were given their children. He never asked for servants. So, okay, who were the servants? So let's go. Any sahaba come to us? Anas. MashaAllah. Anybody else? Qais, mashallah. Qais ibn Sa'd ibn Ubad, radiallahu anhu. Anybody else?
Salman
al-Farsi, mashallah, radiallahu anhu. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu anhu. Zayd ibn al-Haritha, radiallahu anhu. Anybody else? Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, radiallahu anhu. Anybody else? Rabia, the one who would sleep outside his entrance, رضی اللہ. سو برقہ that's the mother of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So again, many servants. Qais was one of them. You think about that. He was on the foot. And look how twitching. He goes, he's offering salat and who's observing him? Rasulullah. And notice he didn't disturb his salat. As soon as he finished, and he, you know, very gently poked him with his foot. He goes, shall I guide you to a gate from the gates of paradise? Think about that. You know, we don't even realize how valuable zikr is. So he goes, yes, gate of what are the gates of, yes, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet said, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Is one of the gates of paradise. Okay. So now, what do we know about the zikr? I'm going to mention it very briefly. In Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban, Ibn Abi Dunya, Targhib, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 83 of the New English Translation, our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to Abu Dharr, radiyallahu anhu, should I not inform you of a hidden treasure amongst the hidden treasures of paradise? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So this is very interesting. Hidden treasure, the word for that is kanz. Kanz. Kanz is a hidden treasure. So, and this, if you find a hidden treasure, 1/5 of that, I believe, goes to the Bayt al-Mal. Meaning there's something you need to give, but it's yours if you found it. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say? Shall I inform you of a hidden treasure of Jannah? So Abu Dharr was thinking, Ya Rasulullah, of course. Is la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So look, Abu Dharr was his servant. What's he giving to his servants? He's giving them gifts. Who's really serving who? The Prophet ﷺ said in Qanzul Umal, the Amir is the servant of the people. So the Prophet, if you really look at the servants, really Rasulullah was serving them. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A third report. People don't realize the value of the zikr. In Tirmidhi, number 3582, Sahih, Safwan ibn Sulaym, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, no angel, alayhi salatu wasalam, has risen from the earth until he says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Subhanallah. No angel, alayhi salatu wasalam, has risen from the earth until he says, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. This is amazing hadith. Somebody goes to you, well, there's trillions of angels. Any angel, look what Safwan saying, when he touches the earth, he can't fly. He has to start the engine first. And what's the key? La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So think about that. When Jibreel came, alayhi salatu wasalam, before he left, with permission, he said before, he goes, La hawla wa la quwwata, let it go. So what's the secret? The secret is it helps you. Bole bale, right? I want special zikr. Where do you want to get special zikr for, brother? You got the zikr from Rasulullah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now, I don't want to go through all the hadiths. Should one care to look, one would be astounded to the virtues of this zikr. So let me mention a few. Number one, it removes poverty. Look how interesting that is, right? Somebody goes to you, hey, how does that work? Don't know, brother. I ain't got a clue. How many times? Don't know, brother. Next question. More dry fic, right? What do you want? How many times? No, I don't know, brother. Just do it. Don't need to, I haven't got a clue, brother. Maybe once is enough. Dry fic again, right? It removes poverty. Number two, it removes grief. Again, the guy looks here. Oh, man. Oh, God, eat the khalif, right? Say, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Brother, come on, give me some special zikr. There you go, innit, brother. Once you peace, I will give it you, right? Number three, it removes harms and ailments. Think about that. Harms and ailments, it gets rid of it. Number four, it is one of the very gates of Jannah. Number five, it causes trees of paradise to be planted. Number six, it is a treasure from paradise underneath the blessed Arsh. Etc. etc. What did Rasulullah give to Qais? So people think, oh, he just gave him a clock and pop it up. Astaghfirullah. So imagine what he gave him. He goes, shall I guide you to one of the gates of paradise? He goes, yes. He goes, La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So now, how many times? 10 times in the morning, 10 times in the evening. Make sure you do that. But increase it. Do it 100 times. Even better, when you're just walking down the street, make sure you do it a couple of 100 times every day and see what happens. right? People are ill because they haven't got the gifts that Allah has given them. And how many times you, oh brother, what if I add to it? What do you want to add to it? La hawla wa la quwwat. Is it illa billah? Is it illa billah al-ali al-azim? Right? I go, say that then. Say, why are you going driving? The Prophet said, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. That's enough. But yes, he also said, illa billah al-ali al-azim. Just get on with it, brother. Right? You don't need to do wudu. Well, if you want to be in wudu, brother, do it. But you don't need wudu. What if I'm talking? Can I do it in my heart? Yeah. And what's beautiful about the dhikr? It helps you to do very burdensome tasks. So if you've got something that you think this is like climbing a mountain, I'm not going to get, I can't see the light at the end of the tunnel. Start doing that zikr. See what happens. Next minute you're thinking, yeah, well, I'm halfway through it. Where am I getting this strength from? People drink coffee now. Is it? Exams. Drink coffee for exams. Why don't you just do la wala 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 coffee sunnah? Which of these? I've never come across it. So note, Qais was given this extraordinary gift, and of course we should take these gifts with both our blessed hands. So are there any questions you'd like to ask before we wrap up? Subhanallah bihamdihi subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim subhanallahi rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bismillahir rahmanir rahim wal asli insan lafi khusr alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat wa wasbil haqq wa wasbil sabr sallallahu alaihi wasallam.